We're going to welcome again Dr. Richard Urso. Dr. Richard Urso graduated from the University of Texas Houston School of Medicine with highest honors. He completed a residency in ophthalmology and then two fellowships. He joined the University of Texas and led the ocular trauma team at both Herman Hospital and LBJ Hospital for more than a decade. America's frontline doctor, Dr. Urso.
I get to talk about my favorite topic, so I brought all my fun work here. And I have to do it all in 10 minutes.
What a sobering talk again. You know, really, think about that. We've basically been, I love that one point you made. I think the last time we've had this much censorship was the Middle Ages. I mean, when was the last time we faced this much censorship? I can't think about when it was. You know, we really are upside down. And why is that? I don't understand it. Since when did frontline docs not have a role? I personally have seen 300,000 patients. I've done over 30,000 surgeries. Every time I go in, I look critically at the patient. I come up with a plan. And we always talk in categories, right? We talk about, you know, we look at patients and say, you know, we hear the history of the physical. And then we think, is there a vascular event going on? Is there something? Is it tumor? Is it inflammation? Is it infection? And then we kind of critically analyze that, and we come up with the treatment. And of course, that's what we did here when this virus came. We started looking at everything and thinking about what can we do to help. It was really clear to me all the way back, and I want to go back, you know, to the early part of February, March. I started looking at it that there were target drugs that might work. I looked at the old literature, and there was some really wonderful stuff. And it didn't take long for me to figure out that we had lots of things we could try. Protease inhibitors, interferon, hydroxychloroquine, chloroquine, ivermectin. Fenofibrate came to my mind. Losartan even I thought about. There's quite a few drugs. Blanket colchicine. There's quite a few. But the one that sort of jumped to the top of the list for me was one I'd had a tremendous experience with. I've done a lot of drug repurposing. I actually patent it and had a drug that's gone all the way through the FDA for testing, but I've repurposed like 8 different drugs for use on the eye, stuff like spironolactone, eplerone, triamcinolone, dapsone. There's several others. 3 of them I'm working on patent, so I won't mention them. But bottom line, I spent a lot of time thinking about this. Hydroxychloroquine has been an incredibly familiar drug to me. I've had probably 3,000 visits, not only either to prescribe it for Sjogren syndrome of the eye or to evaluate them for toxicity. So I knew at the time that I really had to speak up, because if I didn't speak up, I mean, who was going to speak up? The academic guys can't. It's academic suicide. If they speak up, they're going to lose their job. Are pharmacies going to speak up? No. Is academics not going to speak up? The pharmacies aren't. The insurance companies aren't. Who's going to speak up? So I felt like somebody needed to do it. And of course, you all in the room are those somebodies. And I'm in there with you. But it made it really important to say what is our target drug. So again, to get back to hydroxychloroquine, that one stood out to me. All right, why was that? There was a couple of really great trials, one by Savarino, Kaerts, and the study by Vincent that said that it worked against SARS-1. And that sort of made me think, well, maybe it'll work against SARS-2. And then I saw some work about viruses in general. This is the key paper here. Right? This is why hydroxychloroquine is getting targeted. This is the key paper. Not the one that by Vincent, this one by Bari. All right? Al-Bari. Endosomal acidification. So what happens is all these RNA viruses, especially these airborne RNA viruses, they replicate through a process called endosomal acidification. So what's going to happen is if you get hydroxychloroquine on board, or chloroquine for that matter, you're going to basically make sort of attenuated viral particles. It'll get through eventually into the cell. Although the hydroxychloroquine blocks, it will actually get into the cell. But at that point, the flu virus, COVID virus, all the coronaviruses are stunted in their growth. They can't really make good particles. Okay? So what this means is a person who takes hydroxychloroquine chronically will have basically almost like a vaccine-like effect. They'll make some particles. They'll have maybe mild or no disease. There's a good chance they'll develop immunity. So it's almost vaccine-like in its effects. And what does this do to the drug industry? It means that we don't need a flu vaccine. We don't need a COVID vaccine. We don't need Tamiflu. We don't need a lot of stuff. So if anybody wants to know why, okay, this is the why. this drug kills an industry better than it kills a virus. Okay? So that's the critical point. It kills an industry better than it kills a virus. All right, so that's the crux of the talk. Okay, so what do we know about this as we look forward and we look at hydroxychloroquine? What we find is that in places, as you just saw, Dr. Mitchell, in places where it's endemic, you really don't see COVID. You don't see it. It's not in big numbers. It's a log unit less. Okay, and then what do we know? Who has supported this drug in the outpatient setting? All of us in here have. We've worked on it in frontline and used it and found it worked really well. And our voices were suppressed. The number one infectious disease doctor in the world went through a lot of trouble with this drug, Didier Raoul, and then Zelenko in New York, promoting it. They got some press and they promoted this drug. They got published. And they were, as you guys all know, as you docs all know, they try to suppress this information and basically ad hominem attacks. And we know it works, but guess what? 5,000 patients, and you're going to hear from some docs in here that have treated almost 2,000 patients in the outpatient setting, along with other, as Dr. McCullough said, along with other things in antiviral setting, it's amazingly effective in early outpatient therapy and for prophylaxis. All right. So what do we know in the hospitals? We know in the hospitals, and I'm going to run through a couple of just things. We had the most sick patients are our elderly patients, and someone's going to come and talk today about that. But early on, this is April, he demonstrated that this drug worked in our sickest patients that probably should have been hospitalized, but this person turned a MASH unit made a MASH unit out of a nursing home and saved 97% of the people who were infected with COVID. So it works in our most sick patients also, but let me run some numbers, hospitalization. We had studies from Saudi Arabia, from Spain, from Italy, Belgium, Mount Sinai in New York, and Henry Ford Hospital in Detroit. And basically that adds up to about 25,000 patients. And the success of this drug was anywhere from like 30 to 60% lower death rates in almost all hospitalized patients. So it works in endemic areas where there's free use of hydroxychloroquine. It works in an outpatient setting with early use, and it works in the hospital setting. And finally, there were some studies done that were used for prophylaxis, and they were poorly designed to use young patients, underpowered the studies. But thankfully to Dr. Joe Latipo and Harvey Risch and I think Dr. McCullough, they analyzed the data and basically found that even in that setting where they basically designed the trials to fail, we had success when you added all the data together. So we find it works in every setting, endemically in areas where it is, prophylaxis, early treatment, and hospitalized treatment. It's the foundation for fighting this disease. With other drugs need to be added to it often, but it's the foundation drug we need to fight this disease. And just in case anybody is interested, these are all the positive trials for hydroxychloroquine. We've got them here. They can be found online. And this is my last thing I want to say to everybody, final thing. All right, this is, this whole thing about safety, I've got a whole host of papers here on safety. So the drug actually, is it safe? It's super safe. It's the one drug you want if you have only one drug to have in your body and you go into a desert island, this is the drug you want. It helps in diabetes. It helps lower the glucose and the hemoglobin A1C. It lowers the lipid profile by improving the LDL cholesterol. It lowers C-reactive protein. It decreases insulin resistance in both obese and non-obese individuals. It improves atherosclerosis in some studies and accelerated atherosclerosis. It improves the risk of MI and stroke in people who are on it chronically. The risk of thrombosis such as pulmonary embolism improves. In one study, there was a 70% decrease in chronic kidney disease. In autophagy inhibition that it does on cancer tumors allows it to be effective as an adjuvant treatment in many tumors. It helps in its D-dimer, helps in antiphospholipid syndrome, which in COVID is elevated D-dimer. Its anti-inflammatory course, it helps in Sjogren's, which I treat, dry eye Sjogren's, and lupus and rheumatoid arthritis. It's antimalarial, antiviral, and I think safe in pregnancy, and I think in general, as I said, it's a foundation drug. It's not only good for you in a sense, but it's safe and effective, and I think it's the foundation as we go forward. Thank you.
Dr. Urso, I just have one thing I want to ask you. Can we lift up for the audience and show them the studies?
Yeah, there's well over 100 studies that I've reviewed that has to do with safety, with treatment, and with early and in vitro testing on hydroxychloroquine, chloroquine.
So these
I left some at home because I couldn't fit any more in the suitcase.
Let's see if I can lift these up. So you're saying, Dr. Urso, that these are the studies that show that hydroxychloroquine is safe and effective?
Correct.
My goodness. Why is this not reported? My goodness. Thank you so much.
Thank you.